Blog Talk Radio.
So we will start over here. Welcome to Lana's Talk. It is a wonderful rainy Thursday night here in Aurora, Missouri. The weather has just been so detrimental to us here in Missouri. It's been crazy. We just have serious flooding going on everywhere. You know, I don't even understand what's happening with Mother Nature right now. We're all suffering the repercussions of Mother Nature being pissed off. So tonight, I will go back over what I just said. Lag going on, so bear with us. It's because of the weather. So enjoy the show. We are going to be talking about the trucking industry, the way that it used to be, the way that it is now, the things that are going on in the trucking industry that's affecting everybody. You know, it's not just one person, so I also wanted to show you guys this. So I received my Truckers Against Bullying wristbands, and I'm going to give these wristbands out tonight to my callers. We have adults and we have youth. So we do have a caller. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Welcome to Lana's Talk.
Hi, Lana.
How are you tonight? Hello. Is this Bob?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome to Lana's Talk, Bob. How are you tonight?
Good, good. How you doing?
Good, you know. So tonight we have some important messages that we're talking about that I had spoken with you previously today that you're super passionate about, and you have a lot that you would like to share. And with that being said, I think that I'm just going to turn the floor over to you, Bob. So, you know, how long have you been in the trucking industry? Hey, Thomas. Hey, Ron. How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, you know, it's been a long time. Let's put it this way. It's been pretty much half of my life right now.
Okay. You know, in back in the day when you was trucking, it was a much nicer place. The camaraderie was, you know, drivers were friendly. Drivers helped each other. We didn't have all these regulations that we're fighting against now. Shauna? Are you here, Shauna? And, okay, we're just going to keep going, moving along here.
Okay.
And so now, here we are, you know, we are in the 21st century, and we have terrible regulations against us. We have this PRO Act that's being thrown at us, which is going, we're going to talk about this PRO Act. And so you're a company owner. You own trucks, correct?
Yes, yes, I do. I have a very small company, and you know, very family-like company, because I don't just hire anybody. I keep with guys that I trust, and they stay with me because they trust me, and that's what's important for me. Of course, I wanted to make profit, but profit is not number one for me.
Okay. So you own trucks, but you also have owner operators leased on to you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So we're going to get into the PRO Act with you here, just because you have been on the PRO Act and how it may or may not affect your business. So, you know, 25 years ago when you was trucking and you had a breakdown, what was it like to get help from a driver?
As far as I remember, you didn't need to even think about it, because you break down, you're on the side of the road, and somebody will pull over. I mean, it just happened because everybody knew that I mean, you're right. At that time, it was a lot different than now. It was a brotherhood, just kind of unspoken, but just do it. So you didn't have to stay on the side of the road waiting for somebody to show up because they were right there when you need them, and then help was right there. And, of course, the CB radio helped a lot, but, I mean, I don't even want to go on CB radio right now because all you hear is profanity for a reason or no reason.
Yes, you are right. You are correct. You know, CB radios aren't being used for what they should be being used for these. In this time of day, you hear all kinds of things going on the CB radio. So, yeah, so back 20 years ago, it was nothing. You know, if you broke down on the side of the road, you weren't having one driver help you. You were having five drivers help you. And
Oh, yeah.
They will
just pull over, yep.
Here we are now in the 21st century, and to get a driver to pull over to help you now is almost impossible for them to do that. And for several different reasons, excuse me, guys, while I put on my jacket here, I'm cold. For several different reasons, drivers are getting killed, they're getting murdered, because they've pulled over to help somebody. Just many different reasons that drivers are not interested in helping other drivers. And we have our new wave of drivers that are coming in that really don't understand the ideal of camaraderie, understand the ideal of helping, other drivers. And it's just, I don't know about you, but it's kind of sickening to me.
Well, I mean, you actually started a very interesting theme here because I think that new way of drivers is one of the problems this industry is having. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against immigrants. No, I understand people coming looking for a better life, and this industry is a fairly simple way of getting getting money for living expenses and stuff like that. As you can probably hear my accent, I'm an immigrant myself. But the cheap labor is what's bothering me because the government's regulations right now are set the way that it's only government that benefits from it, not the industry, not the owners of the companies or the truck drivers. It's the government that does everything to kill us, not to help us, or not kill us physically, obviously, but to kill the business. That's what I think.
No, and you're absolutely right. You know, when we're talking about immigration, the third world countries having drivers, the United States of America bringing those drivers into the country to get into the trucking industry is because it is cheap labor. You know, they bring them over here and they promise to pay them $200, $250 a week. They give them a place to live. They live in their truck. So, I mean, it's essentially, to me, that's slave labor, because truck drivers
You're
make
absolutely
more than
right.
that a week.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Lena. You're absolutely right. And then with that, we're starting looking into this issue more like, okay, how is it happening? Why is it happening? Who is doing that, right? And then moving forward, you realize that the only companies that have power and ability to do such things would be a large trucking companies, as we call them, mega carriers, right? And then so it's profit driven move on their side. They cannot get qualified drivers to work for them for the money they pay in because everyone who value their labor already owner operator, right? Have their own MCs and driving on their own. So they bring in cheap labor here, they're using these guys, but the biggest question in this particular situation to me is, how is this happening? Why is our government allowing this to happen? And with that, when we start elaborating this issue, the answer that I have for myself would be, well, government in need of money. Government is in deep hole, and they need more taxes coming in, right? I mean, that's the answer I have for this particular question.
And I agree with you, because anybody that they bring over from a third world country and they give them, put them in, you know, a job placement, they do get a kickback on employment that they give to the person who they have brought over here, which totally violates the federal law, the FMCSA motor carrier law, that clearly states you have to read, write, and understand English in order to obtain a CDL.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started on that. Yeah.
I'm going to get you. Come on with it. You know, this is your time to vent, Bob, you know, because if you're not able to put your feelings out there about this and this situation, you know, you have a voice. You have a right to speak, and you have a right to say what you think about things that are interfering with your livelihood or disrupting the industry that you have a business investment in.
And this is exactly what I do, and this is exactly what I've been doing for years and years and years. It just, you know, sometimes you come to the point where you're facing people that simply do not want to understand the basics of the business, right? For a lot of people, unfortunately, and again, this is just my opinion, you know, for a lot of people, this business is nothing else but getting behind the wheel, getting paid, getting out of the wheel, you know, and day in, day out, that's all they care, money coming in. And yeah, it's absolutely right. We need to get paid for what we're doing, but do we have to haul for cheap? No, we don't. Do a lot of people choose to do it? Yes, they do. Now we have to look into another question, why this is happening. And again, I'm not blaming anybody, but simple facts that I'm going to present should explain what exactly happening. So the industry is built this way that everything in this country, or in the world in that matter, right, is delivered by truck. Big trucks, small trucks, but it's delivered by drivers, right? Whether it's on the ship or on the train, it's still trucks that making the final move, right? So at the end, at the very simple fact, truck drivers are the guys that provide in this country with everything this country needs, right? Without trucks moving, everything is going to stop. Okay, and with that, there should be certain level of respect, certain level of understanding that what we're doing is essential, no matter what we're hauling. Okay, now, instead of helping us, government is doing the regulations that are hurting businesses. I mean, I'm not going to go into depth of what regulations. I mean, I think everyone understands what I'm talking about. But, again, the problem here is with new hires, new drivers, is that this business is run by people that have never been behind the wheel. They do not understand the basics. Okay, we have people at FMCSA, DOT, that saying, okay, you cannot do this and this and that. Well, show me then what I can do. But they cannot even show you that because they do not have CDL. They do not even know how to drive trucks. How to start it up. You know, I'm exaggerating things, but I think you can follow what I'm saying, right? And this is not only in trucking. The way government operates, I think, is absurd because the laws are made by people that do not live reality. They do not know what's going on in the real world.
And you're correct. But you are so correct.
Concerning to Yeah, but concerning tracking, this is exactly what's going on. You have people 20 years ago, now, and in the future, unfortunately, the business, the regulations are written by people that have no idea what they're talking about.
Yep. You're right. You are 100% right there. They have no idea what they're talking about. They don't have a CDL. They've never been in a truck. They have no idea what it's like to even be in a truck. And so we continuously batter against these people to try to get something changed in the industry. And, you know,
well,
we keep beating...
Well, and Lana, I'm sorry for interrupting you, Lana, right now, but I think I can put another thing is we continue, you said we're continuously fighting against it, we're continuously talking against it, and then there is another issue here is that it's in government's best interest not to let us unite into this fight. This is why it's in their best interest to have all of our trade groups are barking at each other, you know, and not becoming united as we should. Because, again, if one day in the future, bright, nice, sunny day in the future, every truck stops, which I know never happened, but never will happen, but if this would have happened, guess how long it's going to take for government to come to the leaders and say, okay, guys, we'll do anything you want, but just start moving.
I agree with you, you know, and we've tried several times to have all of these trade groups unite as one, stand together, or have all of the 3.5 million truck drivers that are out there, you know, unite as one. And it's just mind-boggling to me how nobody wants to do that. You know, it's they want to continue using it, and excuse my language, but as a dick swinging contest, we've used that terminology quite a bit. It was my
yep.
ideal. They're liars. They're thieves. Follow me. Don't follow them. They're charging you. I won't charge you. You know, and at the end of the day, we're all fighting for the same thing. So why does it matter
right.
who gets credit? For it. Why can't we just
well,
unite together
absolutely.
And stand strong? You know, stand strong.
Well,
that's
Lana,
the problem.
Lana, here's the answer to your question. You just walked right by the answer but didn't quite say it. This is happening because we have cheap labor that is willing to work for anything just to pay their living necessities. So this will never stop as long as we don't regulate who can do this job, who is qualified to do this job, okay? This will never stop. Now, I mean, we all know that they're talking about bringing 18 years old to do the job. I have nothing against the age restrictions, I mean, or lifting them up, but there's a lot less 18 years old that they can do this job because there is a lot of 40 years old that should not be doing this job. Okay, so,
you're correct.
So it's a mindset. This job, doing this job, I don't think it's age related. It's really a mindset related job. Okay, you have to have your mindset to do what you do because it's a lot of responsibility. It's basically life's at stake here.
Life's at stake, exactly. Do you think that an 18-year-old child who just got their license 2 years previous, and yes, I say child, an 18-year-old child is mature enough to be handling a killing machine? And that's what
well,
a
semi
is.
Well, this is exactly what I just said. This is exactly
no,
what I just
they
said.
Are
not. Not all of them, some of them.
I honestly don't know any 18-year-old that is mature enough, Bob, to handle a semi and be responsible enough with it to not harm somebody else. You know, I'm sorry, at 18 you do mentality to be responsible enough to handle this type of machinery. You know, I mean, you can't even go into the military until you're 18, and heck, they don't send you over to war right away to drive a tank, you know, or blast a cannon. You know, you get training
phrase here wasn't about really the age. It was about cheap labor. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what age we're talking about here now. I mean, what I'm saying is that government, or not government, the lobbying companies that present mega carriers trying to get more people into this business because this business is profit-driven business. I mean, it's clear everybody stays in business to make profit, but the bigger company is, the bigger overhead they have, the more profits they need to bring to satisfy shareholders and keep their operation, right? Now, the immigration law has changed by previous administration. Well, here's the shortage of drivers. Now the new administration, whatever they're going to do, right, they're trying to replenish the force of drivers to the amount needed, or better yet, to exceed the amount. So the pricing of the loads, the pricing of the costs of the cargo will go down, and with all the contracts that mega carriers do have, a lot of owner operators will either have to work for peanuts here, right, or go out of business. I mean, this is how they call it, you know, market oriented or market regulated business.
You're right, Bob. Hey, Jason, how are you doing tonight?
Well, it could be better, Lana. How about yourself?
Pretty good. It's been a while since you've been on Lana's Talk. Welcome to Lana's Talk. You said that you have something that's mind-blowing that we need to hear. So what would that be?
Well, I called in today. Of course, I got my settlement. And, you know, it blew my mind. And it's just like the fellow was just talking about cheap labor. I can witness that. Gone all week long. And, you know, I put in five runs this week. And so, to make a long story short, needless to say, that gone all week and run my hind end off for $186.
What?
That's what I said.
Wow.
And,
you know, Kathy,
I was even, I had a couple of issues too with the company, you know, with RTI here. And so, you know, I called the OIDA. Now, this is fixing to really blow your mind. They took my PC away from me this morning. The log department and safety department took my PC away from me this morning because they said that I couldn't be using it at all, period, whatsoever. And I was using it to go get stuff to eat with, you know, and I was in Louisville this morning, or in Owensboro, I mean, in Kentucky. Literally went across the road to pick up my load, and, of course, I was just getting back from getting something to eat on PC. Okay, so they call, they take my PC away from me. So I called OIDA, and OIDA even told me that, yes, they can do anything they want to do until this truck is legally paid for, and I've got the title in my hands, in my name, and even when I'm on home time, I am signed out of my geotab, off my logs, away from the truck, in my personal vehicle. If I go to the store and I get a gallon of oil or whatever, or anything at all, this truck, according to OIDA, I am supposed to be on duty, not driving, and that breaks my 34-hour reset.
And OIDA
tell
is
me how
correct.
That's possible.
They are correct. Any Nick or Bob, can you are a company owner who has owner operators leased onto your company. If your owner operators are at home doing their 34-hour reset and they decide they want to go shopping and buy stuff for their truck that they're purchasing from you, that now puts them on an on-duty status because they're doing company work.
Well, you see, this is regulation, and unfortunately, no matter how much I would like to see everything in black and white, there are great things. There is great moments in the law and regulations, and this is how, you know, people using it to their advantage. So, yes, you're absolutely right. This is written in the law, but the way the wording done, well, first of all, not normal person would understand the wording they are using. It's just confusing as hell, pardon my language. But then there is another contract that is done between my company and my guys, okay? And it's worded the way that we previously discussed with attorneys and among ourselves, right? So, yes, they are paying me for my trucks, owner-operators buying them off of me. And on the paper, the trucks do belong to me. But in reality and in the way the company is treating it, as it's their own vehicles, it's just not paid for. You know, again, the party that provides loans to these vehicles is not exactly the trucking company that loads those vehicles. You know what I mean? So it's really a matter of legal wording and the way documentation is created. But what this guy is saying is disturbing, is really disturbing. You cannot work for $200 a week. You just can't. It's humiliation, and I don't understand how people can live off of it. I mean, I'm not even going to say how much my driver's making with my company right now, because I just do not want to insult anybody. I'm sorry, guys, but you should not be working for a company like this, buddy. You should not be.
Well, here's the thing.
I agree.
He is buying a truck from this company that he's talking about. And so he's kind of, I guess you would say, a leased owner-operator. Is that right, Jason?
I'm a leased owner and operator.
Okay, so you're a leased owner-operator, and they are telling you that when you are on your personal time and doing your 34-hour reset, that you cannot do anything that pertains to you doing anything for your truck. Here's the thing. Here's the clause that everybody's missing, okay? That's your truck. That's your vehicle, correct?
Right.
Technically, until it's paid off, it belongs to the party financing this purchase.
Okay, so there's the answer. It belongs to them, not you. So right now, you're not a lease owner operator. You're a guy who's trying to buy a truck from a company. So currently, you have no rights. You have no rights until that truck is paid for. And you have to abide by the laws of whatever that company tells you, as long as they're within the federal guidelines. It sucks, Jason.
Well, unfortunately, sad, but it is correct.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's true. And, you know, and let's another notch. So do you – let me just start – I've been reading articles all day about this PRO Act, about people are lease owner operators, that would be you, Jason, that are afraid of this PRO Act. You know, it. I thought it had gotten passed. It has not got passed yet. It's still up in the House of Senate up there, and they're going to do what they call an ABC test on it to see if even the law is feasible to pass. So it has not been passed yet. But, so technically, for those of you who don't know, I'm going to educate you real quick. So the PRO Act has always been a law. It is a law without a name. Call your labor board and ask them. If I hire Jason to do a job for me, he is a 1099, which is what you are, right, Jason? A 1099.
Yep.
Okay. I've hired you to do a job for me, but I have provided you the truck. I provide you the loads. I probably even pay for your fuel. I pay your ICTA. I pay this, I pay that, and I pay this for you. Right?
Yep.
So if I'm providing all of that stuff to you, you technically, legally, are not a 1099. You are an employee. Did you know that?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And if you fall out of your truck, so you just been in the truck for too long or whatever, and you decide to file a suit against them, and they don't have workman's comp on you, you can sue them as an employee, because that's what you should be labeled, is an employee, not a 1099, which is what the PRO Act is. So actually, no leased owner-operator is an actual leased owner-operator, because that person that you're leased onto is supplying you with the things that you need to do your job, which makes you an employee.
Uh-huh. Fantastic, Lana. You just answered the question that you asked. Now, let me step in and tell you why this is happening. I mean, I'm pretty sure you know why this is happening, but he is, or whoever, right, Jason, or many, many thousands and hundreds of thousands and probably millions owners, operators, is exactly in the same situation. Why? Greedy corporations. So I have to explain why I'm saying this, or you already understand what I'm going to say. Okay, well,
right
let
ahead.
Me explain then.
If you're
let
talking
me,
to me, no.
Let me explain. Let me explain why this is happening. Because if he is whatever the 1040, right? If he is 1040 employee of the company, they're required to pay for his insurance, medical, or not required, but big corporation always do it, right? So unemployment insurance, pension fund, perhaps time off, vacation, yada yada yada. So many things they have to pay for, which is, you know, less profit for them, right? Right. Now, if they, and liability, most importantly, liability on the insurance. Now, who do you think owns insurance companies? Who do you think owns mega carriers? Boards of directors, shareholders. So it's all profit, money-driven greed, corporate greed, that's what it is. And now, Lana, let me ask you one question, only one question. Why is it now, exactly now, before the election, this question pop up about PRO Act? Why not 10 years ago? Why not 5 years from now? Why now? Politics. Democrats and Republicans cannot split this piece of cake between them peacefully anymore. And we just got stuck in the middle.
Again.
Me, I'm people of this country, people of the world.
Again, we're always stuck in the middle. You know, we're always stuck in the middle. So, Nick, if they pass the PRO Act, how is this going to – dang it. Bob,
how
if they pass the PRO Act, how is it going to affect you?
Well, okay. There's two different scenarios for me, right? One is that if my guys want to be 1040, fine, let's be. I mean, they're going to bring home a little less money because the taxing going to be higher, taxation issue is going to be higher, but they're going to have better benefits than they have now. It's for them to choose what they want. They want a benefit or they want a higher pay, okay? And that's one way the thing can work out, right? Another way, if they, I think if all this, people like Jason going to lose their job or will have a choice to become, you know, 1040 or get their own authority, in my mind, not a lot of people, not all of the people that would want to get their authority, they're going to get it, right? Because of the previous hiccups in their life, maybe insurance is going to be unaffordable, maybe bonding is not going to be possible, you know what I mean? So this industry is going to lose more drivers. That's the scenario that I'm looking at, really. They're going to lose more drivers. If they're going to lose more drivers, the cost of freight is going to go up. It's better for me. I'm happy. But the question is, will those mega carrier allow this to happen? The answer is no. They will never let this happen. Never. They will find a loophole in the law to make this not happen or to figure something out, because less drivers is the crash for them. They're not going to let it happen.
Jason, if the PRO Act is passed,
Lana,
how is that you?
You're going to make it rough.
You'll no longer be you're a lease owner operator. You'll have to either get your own authority or become a company driver. That will be your only two options.
Yep.
So where's that going to put you?
I mean, I'm already to the point that I'm struggling. I mean, I've been making less than $500 for the past probably, I'd say, 3 months.
Jason, let me ask you this. Why is your pay so low? You're not getting any miles? You're not getting any loads? I just don't see in the market like this, in the market right now, I just don't see this number even realistically close to I'm speechless. My vocabulary in English is not as huge, but I'm speechless even with that.
About a month ago, I was up here in Kansas City, and I was having truck trouble because one of the trailers that I hooked to, it blowed all my fuses. I didn't have a sign of lights on the tractor or the trailer. So, you know, I take it to the shop. Shop tells me, well, unhook the trailer and then pull in. Okay. So after that, they looked at it. You know, they changed out my pigtail. And they gave me new pigtail, new airlines and all. They charged me $200 for that. Then they told me to hook back to a trailer and take the trailer around back and red tag it. Okay. Now, you all know it for yourself. When tandems are slid all the way back, and if you can't slide them, they're stuck. It makes it hard to maneuver. Okay. So here I am. I got in a heck of a jam. And I had everybody out there watching me, mind you. I mean, everybody out the shop and all. And I was out there struggling, getting out, looking, and doing my dangest to keep from hitting anything. Getting to one of our brand new trailer trucks. I messed the grill up, busted the bumper, it busted the hood, everything. So that happened on Tuesday. Okay, that Thursday when I got my settlement sheet, in the email, they had already jerked $1,000 out of my check. $1,000 deductible for insurance.
Okay, so you're having to pay back the company because you damaged one of their trailers, and because
it was
you
a brand new truck,
and you had to have some work done, and your company paid for that. So you're having to pay the company work back the money that they put out, right?
Yep. Yep.
But they didn't discuss with you what they were going to be taking out, or did you know that ahead of time? Is it in your contract that if you get in an accident or you hit something, there's a $1,000 deductible and you're responsible for paying that $1,000?
Nope, I didn't know that. They didn't discuss anything with me.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's in your contract. It's just a small print that you didn't read, Jason. I'm sorry, you know,
but
that's the reality.
Then after that, you know, of course, I've had some issues at home and everything, you know, and then I kind of got down a little under the weather a little bit and coming back from all that and everything, you know, and I'm going to tell you, now, this is going to really get you. Last week and the week before that, I took home $100. Last week, I took $48 home.
Jason, have you been back into the office to have a conversation with them to see if you can try to renegotiate the amount that they're taking from your check?
Well, I would, Lana, but they won't let no drivers in the office. I mean, used to, we could walk in and, you know, we could go up and talk to them. But now they put doors up and they put locks on them. And in order to talk to anybody in the office, we had to go up, knock on that door, and stand there and wait for somebody to come. And whoever we need, they go get them. And that could be 30 minutes to an hour, a couple hours, whatever. And you know yourself, we don't have that kind of time.
Can't you show up early then and wait for them to wait for the person that you need to talk to about what they're doing to you? Because what's the point in you driving if you can't provide for your family, Jason? You're not making enough money to
exactly,
pay your bills.
Lana.
You're away from your wife. You know, there are so many sacrifices that drivers make out here outside of the money issue. They miss everything. You guys miss everything. You know, my granddaughter was, and this may not be huge to anybody else, but it's huge to us. My father wanted to be there so bad, but he missed it. We're getting ready to have another grandchild, but he may not be able to be there for the birth because he's out on the road. You know, there's so many things that you guys miss.
No, I know.
And you sacrifice. Jason, why can't you go early? Why can't you stand there and wait to talk to somebody to get your check straightened out? Because I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why you're away
from
Debbie.
Well, that's my plan next week.
Making money.
That's my plan next week, Lana. And I'm just going to be honest. With everything going on the way it is right now, me and Debbie is... It's going to be tough to even get this one worked out. It came in between us.
Wow.
Jason, so you let financial means come in between you and your wife.
I've been trying not to, Atlanta, but it's hard.
It's not her fault. You know, it's not her fault that any of this is going on, Jason. And you can always replace that truck. You can replace that job. But you're not going to be able to replace your wife. You're not. You will not have another Debbie. And you need to think about that, Jason. I'm just, you know. Nick, what would you do? If you were in that situation, Bob, what would you do?
I would just First of all, I would talk to my attorney. I understand money is tough, but I'll talk to my attorney, look into the contract, because the way it seems to me, the way this contract is written, it was original rip-off from the very beginning, from the get-go. Okay, I would definitely find a way to talk to the owner of the company or to the managers, because there is a way out of this situation, and I bet it is a simple one. It just needs to be talked over, looked over, and discussed. Because again, here's the thing. This guy is struggling, and there is millions like them, and they still cannot get united over this issue to fight it. Because somebody is making money on Jason, big money. I mean, I'm telling you, market is hot right now. Lana, you know that, right? Market is,
yes,
is the best it's been in probably past five, six
yes,
years, okay? And then $180 a week for the guy who drove, I mean, whatever damage he did, I mean, he paid off for that damage with probably, you know, 1 week of his hard work, 3,500 miles. So
yes,
this is just you know, I would be probably speaking my native language and profanity all I know.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I just found out last week that I've been inquiring about payoff on my truck, and they've been leading me around, they've been dicking me around, you know, And then I found out, yesterday I think it was, that they had redone my whole entire contract. And I've been since then trying to get the office to get me copies of it printed off, and they ain't a copy of it nowhere.
How can they?
I mean, how can they redo the contract without you signing it?
Yeah, exactly.
You got me. And not
well,
only
I mean,
that,
it sounds,
this place
sounds
has got
very
me
illegal.
An interest on this truck. With every truck
we
payment I make, I mean, I'm not doing fixed. Because if I was running fixed, payment would be $658 every week. But I'm on variable. And they've got me paying interest all the way up to the very last payment on this truck.
Hey, Shauna, are you on here?
Jason. Jason. Let me ask you this. What year is your truck, Jason?
It's a 2020 Peterbilt 389.
Okay, so it's 2020. It's a new truck. Okay. Because I was going to say, my driver is paying less than that for 2020 Kenworth 2680, brand new, that he has. But again, I mean, they're making money on you, and it doesn't sound too bad. But again, I mean, making $658 payment plus fuel or minus fuel, whatever, and running, you know, 3,000 miles a week, I mean, you should be bringing home at least $1,800, $1,900. That's the very, very least.
Yeah.
I
and
agree.
Not only that, since February the 4th, they have cut this truck down twice.
What do you mean cut the truck down?
Well, when I first got the truck, it was running 78 mile an hour.
When RTI
bought the truck for me. So
they put a
governor,
on
it.
Okay.
So when Bill Grogene, the owner of RTI, gave me the okay to turn it back up, September 8th of last year, my eighth month of having this truck, I flat out told him, I said, okay. I said, it's going back to the way it was running when he came into RTI. So, okay, he said. All right. I was catching other drivers. And, of course, you know, I'd pass them because I didn't want to lollygag behind them. Come to find out, they was calling in on me. So they used the excuse that my dash cam wasn't working, and they got my truck in the shop and turned it from 78 down to 74. Then, the 16th of March, I was in Indiana, and probably not a good tractor and trailer length from the truck in front of me. And we were both going downhill. Here comes a state trooper going east, and he got the truck in front of me. That truck slammed the brakes on. So I fell out to pass him. Just because I fell out to pass him, that trooper blamed the truck's speed in front of me on me and stopped me. So therefore, they jerked my truck in the shop again, and they turned it down again. And it's costing me double in fuel what it was when I had it turned up.
How is it costing you double in fuel?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that you understand how trucks run. They got to be able to run a certain speed and be able to breathe. Okay, I've been asking around, and they've got me back to what it was before at 70. And it's continuously pulling, and it's not getting room to be able to back off and breathe.
Okay, so it sounds to me like, Jason, you're having a lot of issues with this company that you're at, so it's time for you to go in early, take some time to get somebody out the door that you need out the door so that you can either ask to be relieved from your contract or renegotiate your contract. That is your option. Is it a walk-away contract? The contract that you supposedly signed that you didn't sign, is it a walk-away contract where you can just walk away and not have any liability to that truck or that company?
It's supposedly supposed to be a walk-away, but I had a friend of mine that was the same way, and they took him for everything he was worth. They fired
you need to get a copy of
over something that wasn't his fault.
Bob, he needs to get a copy of this contract that he supposedly signed that he says he didn't sign because they rewrote it. You know, let's go to some of these comments. You know, Kathy Hilton, she says that absolutely not. You know, she said, I would not be liable for no 18-year-old to be behind the wheel. No way in hell. And then she says, what the hell? She told, this is her message to you. She said, drive for a company and get your money. Kenny McGraw says it sounds like you're getting ripped off. Charles Phillips Sr. says, wow, Kenny McGraw says, you need to go somewhere that treats you like you're not the black sheep of the family. You know, and Bob, what do you think he should do? You think he should just walk away and just be done with this company? Or just keep doing what he's doing in the hopes that things are going to turn around, you know? Because he's losing more than he's losing more than just his truck. He's losing his career. He's losing his wife, you know? I mean, we hear so many horror stories of families busting up, and it really is really over money. It's over money, you know? It's
right.
Not
well,
over anything else.
Lana, I'm not in a position to give any legal advices, and so what I'm going to say right now is just basically what I personally would do myself if I was in a situation like this. Walking away is an option, but I don't think it's a really smart option to do in this situation, because walking away without getting this contract looked over by a professional is a potential harm, more harm than good. You know what I mean? So I would let a professional look over this contract and see what they would say about it. I understand it's going to cost money. I understand it's a hassle, but it needs to be done this way. Okay. And I'm pretty sure Jason can find, good friends here that can help him, you know, find a good attorney, or even Ida. They have attorneys, and the RTI should have provided you with some kind of legal services prepaid legal services or something like of that matter, because you definitely want this contract to be looked over. And then,
well,
and then
when I get
run
home
away,
this
run away from people like this. You can find smaller company, because it sounds like you have an experience behind the wheel. I guarantee you, you can find a company that will cherish you and love you and pay you accordingly for good, hard labor. I guarantee you that. But you cannot let anybody use you as a, I don't know, I don't even have a word, use you as a money-making machine for somebody who is not really even worth, you know, being a part of them, of this company. I'm losing my ability to speak English. Wow.
You're fine, Bob.
Well,
you know,
when I get home tomorrow night, I'm getting my contract, and I'm sending old Ida a copy of my contract, and they're going to look over it, and they said they would review it, and then they would get back with me.
Okay. Well, that's a step.
You know,
that's the first step.
Yep. And Kathy Hilton wants to know, you know, is your family or your truck more important?
Of course, the family is more important to me. I mean, I used to run over the road. I was running coast to coast, and then I took dedicated so I could be home more. But this were, when I said it's coming in between me and Debbie, is I'm only getting one day at home, Lana. I get home tomorrow night around probably anywhere between 10 and midnight tomorrow night. I'm home all day Saturday, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. I'm back in the truck on the road. I've only got one day home.
Can you take her with you?
Yeah, I can take her with me.
Then
but
the
only
the
problem
truck.
With that is, well, the only problem with that is she's got her 80-year-old mom that lives with us.
Well,
she's having to stay home and take care of her.
You know, so the problem is
I mean, I had her in the truck with me.
Yeah, you're only getting to be at home less than 24 hours with your wife. You're not making any money. The company that you're working for is being really shitty to you. They're working your ass off, and you're not reaping any reward because of some mistakes that you might have made, and you're feeling stuck, desperate, lost. And this happens to a lot of drivers out there. This not your story is not the first story for this to ever have been said. You know, I have a friend right now. Her husband is kind of going through the same thing with another mega carrier who promised to pay him X, Y, and Z. You know, he was only supposed to be in training for this amount of time, and then he was going to upgrade. Well, they found every reason in the world for him not to upgrade. He hadn't been home for 8 weeks. 8 weeks. And, you know, finally got to come in for his upgrade after he threw a fit about it. I mean, it's just been one thing out of it, you know, one thing after another with this mega carrier, guys. Mega carriers. You know, RTI is not a small carrier. They are a large carrier.
Right, they are. They are.
Yep.
And they have
I think we've got over
at their disposal.
We got over 900 trucks, and I think
yeah,
it was over 1,100 or 1,200 drivers, and they've got a guy right now that is having to go around and recover trucks where drivers have quit and abandoned them and left them sitting. And they keep going and buying more trucks and bringing more drivers in than what they know what to do with.
Right, and then you see, Lana, guys, here's the continuation of the situation or more explanation of what we were talking about, okay? So if single guy with a small company or just a single owner-operator would want to go ahead and buy a truck, right, he's put in a situation that when it's very, very hard. And for some people, it's virtually impossible to go at the dealership right now and purchase the truck because, A, there is a shortage of trucks. B, if when there was no shortage of trucks, there was financing absolutely unaffordable. So the regulations and the very, very word of commercial trucking is set the way that a single guy, simple, hard-working Jason, cannot just go ahead and buy himself a truck, get himself an authority, and get himself an insurance because there is a red tape, either real or artificially created in this world, that prevents him from doing that. Do you think that Jason would just go ahead and lease, sign this option to buy contract with RTI if he had an opportunity to go ahead and get himself situated with the business that he could run on his own? I bet not, Jason, right? You probably would want to go on your own if you had this very opportunity. But you were put in a standard that made this very much impossible for you to do financially. So again, we're talking about, money's talking right now, okay? You try, go ahead, right now, you try and buy yourself a new truck. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to do it because mega carriers have contracts signed. So we are, at the beginning of the business, we are put in a different position than the mega carriers are. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, suck it. It's a business, okay? They're large, they're rich, and you are nobody. Okay, it's fine. I agree with that. That's the reality of capitalism, okay? But then, how is it even possible for them to measure up us equally on the insurance, on the rates, on everything, right? They're paying less for fuel, so it's greed. Again, to me, it's greed and nothing else. Who and why they cannot treat Jason with respect and let him make more money for them by working safely, better, you know, and at ease. That's what I'm trying to say. Because his mind right now is set on how to survive, not how to make his job right and safe.
That's correct.
Yep.
You're right, Jade. That's where your mindset is at, Jason, right? Is how to survive, not to be safe on the road, not to be making wise decisions. It's about, am I going to survive here?
Yeah. I mean, I sit here and I think my mind just goes everywhere else but the road. I'm trying to think and manage how that I'm going to survive and make a living and survive for my family.
Right, and that is the saddest part. When the very person who is feeding all this office guys, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're really smart for creating the business the way it is, for keeping the business running, for making all these negotiations and contracts and all that. I mean, yes, of course, they're doing their job, but they are cutting the very hand that's feeding them. Because if there will be, they have 900 drivers left, and if 900 drivers are unhappy like Jason, who would they have to make the money? Nobody.
Exactly. Exactly.
And this is why they trying to talk to the government. They're lobbying for younger drivers to come in, for more immigrants to come in. They cutting every possible corner to make more profit.
You're exactly
because I've read it somewhere. I need to find it and send it to you, Lana, but I've read somewhere that mega carriers right now at the situation when one driver feeds two office people. So not only you feed in your family, Jason, you are working for two other people somewhere in the office. You pay for their needs. How is that fair?
It's not fair. You know, what's happening is not fair. And it's It's like I said, it's just not with you, Jason, that this is happening to. This is happening to drivers all over the country, you know, and it's a very unfair position that you guys are put into. And you feel like you can't get out of it, that there is no way to get out of it. But as Bob said, you have some people in your corner, Jason, that are very smart people, that if you're willing to send them a copy of that contract, they can probably help you weasel your way out of that situation and put you into a better situation. But that's completely up to you. You're the one that's going to have to cut that umbilical cord, you know, before you lose your wife. Family first. Family first. Always family first, guys.
Yep.
Always.
No, I agree 100% with you, Lana.
You can never replace your family, ever. What's the good in making all this money in the trucking if you have nobody to share it with because your family has left you or abandoned you because you chose trucking before your family? You know.
Yep. You're
I
right.
Don't know about you, Bob. I don't know about you, Bob, but I definitely do not put trucking before my family. I own a trucking company myself, you know, and my husband drives, I drive. But if it ever got to a point to where it was causing problems between us, I would sell every piece of equipment that I have, every piece of equipment, because it's not worth it. It's not worth it to me. My family is irreplaceable. They are not indispensable. I mean, you know, so.
You're absolutely right. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, the thing about me, I mean, as we met briefly, you know, last year, you know, I'm in this business because I like it. I don't have to be in this business personally, you know. It's just because I like it. I really do. And then my wife and my kids are cool about it, and I thank them for that from the bottom of my heart. But as years going, I feel obligated to at least try to tell drivers that they are most important part of this business. They are the ones who should be regulating this business, not some people in the office in the suits and in the fancy chairs, you know. It's drivers who should be mutually responsible for what's going on the road, on their checking accounts, in their lives, and in their business, okay? No one around can tell them what to do. And in order to do that, drivers have to learn how to become united into fight, because right now we have to fight for what's going on, because it doesn't matter autonomous trucks or transparency. It doesn't matter overall, but as a small pieces, everything of this matters. It all comes into big puzzles when every question is answered. Okay? Then when the government understands that this is it, this is the border that they cannot cross, because it's the people of this country that's most important than anything else in the world. And in this business, it's truck drivers that are driving force. That people in the office, they're absolutely zeros without truck drivers. And when the truck drivers learn how to be mutually respectful to each other, because English vocabulary consists of so many good words besides profanity, this is when people need to learn to. I mean, I'm not going into biblical here, loving each other. No, we're all different. We have our, you know, pluses and minuses, goods and bads. But overall, you know, when you see that people need help, physical or mental or financial, we all in this business, we all are who run in this business, and we have to stand up together in fight for this business.
You're right.
Well, this has always been my dream truck that I've got now. And when I first got it, you know, we were in Kentucky. This is before we moved. And the owner called. He's like, well, he said, I've got all your information right here laid out in front of me, all your numbers and everything. And I said, okay. And they kept telling me, he said, well, you'd have to go home and this, that, and other, and everything else. He said, if I buy that truck for you, he said, you're going to lose your ass on that truck. And I said, you don't worry about that. I said, you let me worry about how to make it and how to manage money and stuff like that. I said, as long as I got my miles coming in, then I can make it, you know. And I told him, I said, well, I said, I'll let you talk to my wife, and then I'll talk it over with her, and I'll give you a call back. Okay? He got on the phone with her, and then, hey, how you doing, all that stuff, you know. And of course, she said, be happy if you get this man his truck he's wanting, that he's always been wanting. He said, well, do I have your blessing on it? And she said, you sure do. And next thing I know, it was a done deal. I mean, everything was going good, Lana, until I started inquiring about payoff on my truck. Then that's when it got cut down and, you know, this, that, and others going on and happening. And then the way fuel's been going up and everything. And, I mean, to me, it feels like they're trying to either squeeze or choke me out of this truck little by little, so they can make another 100-something grand off of it.
What it sounds to me is like they are trying to squeeze you out of that truck, Jason, so they can sell it to another driver who will never be an owner of that truck, because they will squeeze that driver out of the truck, and it's just a process that will keep going. That's why I keep saying that leasing a truck is a bad idea. It is. Ideal. No offense, Bob. I know we have some good people out there that actually, when you lease a truck, you eventually do own it. But with these mega carriers, it's very rare that you're going to own that truck. They're going to find one reason or another to say you're in violation of the contract or squeeze you out of the contract, as you said.
Well, tell you one story. Years ago, some time ago, doesn't really matter the time frame. I called J.B. Hunt, and I inquire about, you know, their work environment and the pay and stuff like that. And they said they were paying, at that time, they were paying 39 cents a mile, when small companies were paying, you know, 65 to 70 cents a mile for you know, just a company driver. And so, and I said, well, guys, why are you paying that little comparing to pretty much double the amount the small company is paying? And the guy said, well, we offer some benefits and then this and that and then yada, yada. So you're better off with mega carriers because we're self-insured. So whatever happens never goes against you. So it sounds like that promise that RTI made to you is not true. I mean, I'm pretty sure mega carriers using the same standard contract or give or take. So when you became owner-operator for RTI, they told you probably verbally that, hey, you don't have to worry about any accidents because we're self-insured, so you're cool. But now it sounds like, you know, they backing off on their words and trying to squeeze you out of everything that you have. Again, set part, but let's Ida look over your contract. They have really good attorneys, and then, you know, see what they're going to advise you, see what you can do.
Well, yep, I mean, we got one driver that has paid a truck out, and me and him got to talking just a little while back, and he said that he went up and asked for the title. He said, well, I'll have to get the title because it's in the court system or DA's office or something like that. It was somewhere. He said, what do you mean? And the owner of RTI said, well, said we've never actually had anybody to pay a truck off before.
What?
Which that tells me that they're trying to keep drivers in these trucks where they don't never get them paid off. I mean, me and Debbie, we've been trying to figure out a way so that I can get my own authority and stuff like that and be able to, you know, get money and pay this truck off.
Well, in order to get your own authority, it's absolutely not difficult. The question is, would you be able to afford your own insurance? And if you do, then you need a truck?
Yeah, because when I run, I go home Friday night, come out Sunday. I run Sunday through Friday, go home Friday, come out Sunday, and pay period ends Tuesday night. Okay.
Jason, it's not the question. The question is, for the insurance, is where do you live, how many years of experience you have, and how clean is your record? That's what insurance is going to look at. I mean, you could be the best guy ever, but if the insurance is not going to, so to speak, buy you, right, then there is no reason to get your authority. I mean, getting authority is easy. The insurance is what's, you know, preventing a lot of people getting it, unless you have a felony, previous felony or something like this, authority is given. Insurance is the issue. And then with the insurance comes question, do you have a truck to run? Right now, the truck doesn't belong to you. You need to pay it off, okay? And then that's a lot of money. So if you can come up with financing and the contract allows you to quit this contract, then you're golden. You know what I mean? On your own, yes, you're going to probably be not struggling, but financially not as advanced first year as you would be in the future, because first year of new authority, brokers are not really, you know, cooperative on the rates, and some brokers are not going to give you loads because you are new to their trade, okay, in their eyes, because your MC is new. But after a year passes, you're golden, regardless of how the market is going to react, how it's going to be, right? You only pay yourself, and the only expenses you have is your own expenses, and you choose your own schedule, how you run, how you work. But starting with money for insurance for the truck is most difficult part.
You're right. Bob is right. The insurance companies, they look at an overall, your driving history, your record. They take all those things and factor when they quote you a rate. So, you know, and he's right. The first year, the first 3 years of being a carrier, your insurance will be higher than it is any. After your third year, your insurance will drop down as long as you haven't had any claims, Jason. And I don't think you'll have a problem getting insured. You know, you got to have your down payment for insurance, you know, which is usually about $2,500 that you've got to pay to get your insurance started. So, but, you know, and you know, I mean, you can probably do it on your own. You just got to figure out where you are with this contract with RTI. Well, Bob, I want to thank you for coming on to Lana's Talk tonight. Jason, thanks for coming on to Lana's Talk tonight. I appreciate everybody that has watched tonight, took the time out of your busy schedules to join us. I hope that we've given you some kind of answers to anything you might have an answer to.
Oh, I've enjoyed it, Lana.
Thank you, Jason, to being a leased operator, you know, and here we go again. How is the PRO Act going to affect you if it gets implemented in your state? And remember, this is Sexual Harassment Awareness Month. If you are being sexually harassed by an employer, by a fellow coworker, please reach out to me. Let me help you. There is help out there. Know your worth, that you do not have to tolerate that to be a truck driver, to be any type of employee anywhere. You do not need to tolerate any type of sexual harassment or bullying. And speaking of that, Jason and Bob, I'm going to send you guys these bracelets. I'm holding them up in the air. I don't know if you guys can see them or not. It's Truckers Against Bullying. And to my guest tonight, I'm going to send you guys out these bracelets for you to wear to represent for the Truckers Against Bullying. So I'll get your addresses. I think I've got both of your addresses. to send out to you for coming on to Lance Talk tonight and sharing all of your wealth of knowledge that you guys have, especially you, Bob. You're such a enjoyment to speak with and a wealth of knowledge. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lana. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure talking to you, you know, on the radio or off the radio. So let's keep in touch.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. With that, I'm going to sign out, and we will see you guys next week at 6 p.m. Central Time on Lana's Talk. If you have a topic that you'd like for me to cover, send me a message. I'll be more than happy to investigate that and bring it to light for you. So it's real simple. You can PM me on Facebook, or you can send me an email at lanastalk1@gmail.com. Everybody has my phone number that knows me. I'm very easy to get in contact with. Once again, thank you so much for
thank
giving
you.
Us
thank
your
you.
Time
Goodbye.
Tonight and being a part of my show. Good night, everybody.
Bye.